Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, a book that shares miraculous stories of modern afterlife evidence proving that consciousness survives physical death and we are each part of a greater, more universal, loving reality than just our physical life. Today I welcome Bob Wheeler, a certified CPA practicing in LA and author of The Money Nerve. Financial freedom is a healthy relationship with money and also with life. And no matter what your socioeconomic level, we can always move past fear to make better choices and financial decisions. Hello, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thanks for asking. Bob, as we all know, whatever area of our life needs improvement, finances, health, love life, we can only begin by focusing on knowing ourselves better and our attitudes and fears, and know when we change ourselves and the energy or emotions we project, the results can be astonishing. Bob, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I seek to look past belief systems and structures that may not be based on enough information and to take a more in-depth look at the laws of universal energy and nature so we can begin to develop both our inner soul and physical life needs. Integrating spiritual awareness and practices with practical life experiences and learning to tap into intuition may guide us all to improve our life choices and create an environment of proactive abundance. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Bob Wheeler, who is a licensed spiritual agape practitioner and has followed his own crusade for personal growth, cross-pollinated with his accounting practice, will deliver a new approach to personal finances. His passion is really to help others gain insights about how emotions trigger financial decisions. Bob has also pursued his love of satire and ventured into the realm of stand-up comedy. He has traveled to many points of the globe, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, and exudes a timeless, powerful energy. You know, your pursuits remind me much of the Vitruvian Man from Leonardo da Vinci's time. And that's how we all should enjoy life, trying to experience so many wonderful things. Bob, I regularly ask my guests to reflect back to a childhood experience or memory, for I find that the seeds, or perhaps our life path and our future work interests and values, are present really early on in life. So please tell us, how did it begin for you?
Well, you know, it's funny, what came to mind when you just said that, I realized at an early age, through a couple of experiences, that nobody was going to do it for me. And that if I was going to make things happen, I was going to have to figure it out on my own. And I think that's probably what set the journey of a path of self-discovery, was trying to figure out what it is that I was here to do and just start experiencing life so that I could learn, make mistakes, and keep learning.
So you were an individualist, and you were curious, and you probably were very observant of what was going on around you, and you knew there were things that you wanted to do and explore, and so you have. So let's go on to another question. Why did you write this book, and why did you feel you could make a difference in talking about finances?
So what propelled me to write the book was I kept listening to client after client break down, sharing personal information, going beyond just talking about a tax return, and people kept telling me about their shame, about how they didn't know better, if people only knew. And I realized, wow, there's a lot of people walking around with the shame and self-judgment, thinking they're the only people that didn't know how to handle their finances and didn't know how to get it together. So I wrote this book to give people the information that, hey, you're not alone. If you want to make conscious choices and start to explore and start to be curious, you can change your mindset, you can change your reality, and you can change your perception of abundance.
Absolutely. And I think what you discovered very early on was the benefits of learning to be responsible for your finances are the same as learning to accept responsibilities for all areas of your life. And you begin this by honoring, respecting, and taking your decisions or choices seriously so you can become a more empowered and enlightened being. And then you don't have to blame others or judge others or feel shame, because you know, however it works out, you tried your best, right? There's really no failure. There's only experience.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, I invite people to be curious and be really interested, so that if they keep repeating a pattern, if they keep self-sabotaging, just find it really interesting. Isn't that interesting? I love to overdraw my bank account. Isn't that interesting? I love to withhold in my relationships.
Yes.
And not make it a judgment.
It's just a pattern that has, for some reason in their childhood, been established as a way to perhaps feel more comfortable, because we all want to go from feeling uncomfortable to comfortable, from having fear to being joyful and positive. And sometimes to do that, we take the easy way instead of really figuring it out and correcting the pattern so it stops happening. Yeah, you're
right.
Absolutely right. So how can people overcome their fears? Because everything is emanating from fear. When we make poor choices, it's because we don't think we have enough information or enough ability or self-confidence to do anything else but react in this way. So how can people overcome their fears and outdated beliefs about money? Because we all have that. We were given that by our parents and our teachers and other people who supervised us. And what are some of these outdated beliefs and fears? How did they begin?
Well, you know, the first thing I think for people to want to make a change, the first part of the question would be that people need to set an intention that I have a desire to do something different. I have a desire to have a different outcome. Have to have that intention. And then there has to be a willingness to be uncomfortable for a little bit, because change is not always comfortable. So there has to be that willingness. And third, you have to be integrity with your choices, instead of saying, oh, that's somebody else's fault. Okay, I'm making these choices. I've made these choices, and I'm going to be in my integrity that I have an intention to do things differently, that I want to be conscious in my choices so that I'm no longer a victim. I consciously choose to sabotage, or I consciously choose to make different choices. So it really starts to be about conscious choice. I tell people, if you want to go out and gamble, feed an addiction, or do any of those things, I'm not going to say you're wrong to do that. I just say do it consciously so that you're not a victim.
Absolutely. Well said. Now, you did also say in the book, first, you must set a new course. That's your intention.
Mm-hmm.
To leave the past behind, get new information and new tools, and then decide where you're going. Set a goal.
Right.
And when you work with your beliefs and what new things you will bring, or your perception, into the new story, you can embrace your story, accept what you are partially responsible for, because nobody creates our problems or our judgments or our situations. We do that ourselves. But accepting responsibility, you said that several times in the book, and I agree with you,
yeah.
That is an awareness of
right.
Who you are and what you are doing and what you would rather do to project into the world to be the person and be the version of yourself that you really want to be. You know, in my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I suggest that many of life's fondest dreams may be thwarted by our fears and intentions. And this deals with money, too. And I wrote, many choose to believe it is life circumstances that are at the root of the destruction of so many fine plans, intentions, and opportunities. I believe it is the perception of limitation and self-doubt, not our circumstances, which destroys dreams and thwarts wonderful ideas. What I call the law of attraction is a universal energetic truth of creating our own reality by bringing to us the people and circumstances that our mind and actions generate. And what we focus our thoughts, time, and energy on, that ultimately brings these possibilities into reality. You also said this in the book, so be very careful what you wish for. There is some relevance to that idea.
Absolutely, and I'm in total agreement with you. You know, people say to me, hey, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. And I always say, go out and create your own ship. But don't hold on to that. This is, you know, it's beyond my control. I don't have control over my life. I don't have conscious choice. That's not true. That's a story.
Yes.
So once we can learn to, one of the things I work with people on is learning to hiccup their thought process and start to catch where they go into automatic autopilot and learn to then take a breath and then decide if they want to make a different decision. They don't have to make a different decision, but learning to just have that pause before acting.
You know, as an intuitive healer, I can see when people are going into this story and repeating things that they've learned over time, which have not served them well, but they have no other tool to bring in at the moment, so they use it over and over again. And yet, sometimes for ourselves, it's very hard to see the pattern. It takes time, and it takes wanting to be conscious, awakened, wanting to observe ourselves and what comes next, and then we start to see the pattern. And everybody can begin by doing this. We're going to show them how, in a little bit, how to do this with money, but they can do this with everything in their lives. So, Bob, do emotions really cause people to make a decision about purchasing groceries or a car or even taking a vacation?
Yeah, it's amazing. We make financial decisions constantly throughout the day. We might be at the grocery store and feeling really depressed. We didn't bring a list with us, so we might just start buying ice cream and desserts and things that are going to feed our feeling of depravity or feeling making us feel good about ourselves. We might take a vacation and put it on our credit card because it's going to impress our friends, because we're feeling like they always do everything better than we do, so I'm going to get that really fancy trip so that everybody's jealous. You know, if I'm driving a car that I'm ashamed of, I might park down the street or always, you know, find another way to get somewhere so that people can't make a judgment about me. So we create all these stories, epic Oscar-winning dramas in our head that have no reality anywhere else except in our head.
Right, and you actually call it mental mapping or programming, and by learning to make adjustments, first you have to be aware that you're doing it, and then make adjustments to change that mental mapping so we can go in a different direction. So really, what triggers people to make the same decisions repeatedly?
Well, you know, sometimes it's, you know, growing up with a parent who says, you're not smart enough, you're not smart enough, you're not capable. And so then we hold on to that, and then we find ways to prove them right, because I believe that secretly we like to let our parents know that they're right because we love them, so we don't want to make them wrong. So we find subconscious ways to make agreement with them, even at our own expense. So that's one way. And the other thing is self-judgment. I meet so many people. There's so much shame and low self-esteem, undeserving, that comes up a lot. And it's interesting, when I work with people, I'll say, who wants to have more money? Who wants to have more abundance? And everybody's like, I do, and they all raise their hands. Then I ask them to close their eyes and just feel into that. And then I'll say, do you really think you deserve it? And most people will say, I don't. I want it, and I really don't. And that's the voice we have to work with, the one that sneaks up and says, but you don't deserve it.
Right. By becoming aware of your mental map, you can recognize how you unconsciously are diverting yourself from what you ultimately want, because, yes, people planted ideas in our head. Perhaps it's not necessary to have a boat. Perhaps you should use that money for charity. Perhaps it's not necessary for you to travel all over the world. Maybe you should stay closer to home and take care of your aging parents. So these implanted ideas actually set up like a, we can start to perspire when we just start to think about doing something that we might want to do because we've been programmed by others to do what's good for others. But you said there are reasons that we're sometimes blocked by certain thinking that's not necessarily true. And that's what we're talking about here, ways that we're blocked by this thinking. So one is self-doubt. Another thought you gave.
Yeah, well, another one would be, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Another block would be, people will judge me or talk about me.
Or it might hurt my relationship.
Might hurt my relationship.
Yeah, other people might not like if I make a change and do it this way, so I might lose friends or, you know, a love interest, yeah.
Right. It might be that, I like to enable people, and now if I start making conscious choices, I'm going to actually have to take responsibility for my new choices. There might be conflict. I might... you know, have to make a stand. It's scary when, you know, it's painful when I have to make a choice that's different than what's really comfortable for me. And do I really want to stand in that and for how long?
Yeah, and some other suggestions you gave were sometimes people think working from home is not seen as professional.
Right.
Maybe we've been told that. And maybe they have to do it for many reasons. So we've got to get rid of some of this thinking that is just not substantial. Another one would be working weekends is not an option because I have to be with the family or I have to go to temple or church or, you know, I have to take care of the children who are home from school. If it is necessary for you to advance and be in a certain place for work, everything can be worked out. But these ideas, they do generate guilt and shame and feeling not good about ourselves. So let's get on now. This is really the important question of the day. What is a money nerve?
So the money nerve is that place in our body where we feel a tinge of pain or guilt or shame when something comes up related to money. So if I go in and I buy something at the store and they decline my credit card, I might have a slight palpitation. My heart just, you know, feels a little bump. My shoulders sink. I feel all this shame. My face might turn red. People have ulcers when it comes to money issues. People have had heart attacks when it comes to money issues. A lot of people feel it in their stomach. Some people feel it in their heart. Some people feel it in their shoulders. So it's wherever your body physically takes you when you're in a confrontation with somebody about money, where do you feel the energy when you're asking for a raise that you're afraid they might not give you? Telling your child, no, I'm not going to do that for you because it's not your best interest, and that guilt that they will now hate mommy or daddy. And so it's, we all have it in different places.
Yeah, we feel it in the body in different places. But that's because we all have different levels of emotional tolerance towards any financial situation. I mean, you go on to talk about older people who sometimes have money, and they can't even go out to dinner or travel because they're afraid maybe they'll outlive their money. And so they hold back, and they create a lot of health issues and worries for themselves and others. So maybe they're using this to cover other insecurities. What might be some of the insecurities people cover up when they really have enough, but they're not enjoying their abundance?
There's so many different things. So some people may have come from, you know, the Depression era or had parents from that era, so they may be thinking, nobody's going to take care of me. The world could fall apart at any moment, so I've got to just be ready for this horrific battle that's going to come my way. Other people might think that if I spend any of this money, the people in my church won't think that I'm spiritual or compassionate. They'll think that I'm flashy and greedy, and so some people won't spend because of what other people might think. Some people won't spend because it may all go away. some people think if they start spending it, then people are going to start coming and asking them for money because they know they have it. People might think that they're better off than they are. It's amazing how many successful people and older people as well that will apologize for what they have.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful house. No. Oh, you know what? No. I didn't really pay for that. I inherited some money, and I didn't do it. It came to me. I got lucky.
Yes.
So again,
we come back to this guilt, this mindset mm-hmm. that we have to make excuses for
right.
enjoying life. That's what we're
right.
really doing here. Now, you set up a scenario in the book that I liked very much. You say, if you have an interstate mindset where everyone is speeding very quickly to their destination and mm-hmm. accidents can happen, this may take place on your financial map, and you try to juggle payments on 7 different credit cards, transfer money from one bank to another, free up expenses on one credit card so you can charge more on it while you make a payment for another credit card. And I know there's a lot of people living like this now.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you suggest? What are some of the ways we can change these people's thinking?
So for me, it's always about taking the breath, and then start thinking about prioritizing. What's important right now? Is it to get rid of 2 of the 7 credit cards? Is it to start reducing my debt? Is it to start switching over to cash basis for a little bit, so because I can't control my credit card spending? Is it, you know, I like to actually freeze credit cards so that they're, you can't get to them. So looking at the priorities of where do I want to start, and I start with baby steps. So I always tell people, stop trying to go from A to Z and just work on getting from A to B. And then when we get to B, we'll work on getting to C. Take it in palatable bites.
And you say that changing the words or the way you approach mm-hmm. a problem is very important. Could you give us a story about
yeah.
that?
The story that I have, well, there's two. I mean, I have a friend who was always telling me he was broke, and that may be the story you're alluding to, that
mm-hmm.
He would always say, I'm broke, and I can't get my headshots, I can't have the career I want. And so I said to him, maybe you could actually just paraphrase that differently. Instead of saying I'm broke, I'm choosing to use my money differently. I'm choosing to not put my money into my career. And so it took him a little bit of time, but he'd be like, I'm making different choices with my money. It only took him a short amount of time before he actually went out and bought the headshots to get going with his career, because he realized he was making up a story. And he was using that story to reaffirm that it wasn't his fault and it wasn't his doing. Yet I knew he was going out and spending money, taking a trip to Vegas, charging a trip over here. He was, you know, buying lots of alcohol, doing all kinds of different things.
To avoid what he really needed to do. So you're right.
Right.
If you say I'm broke and then you stop to consider, are you really broke? No, you're not really broke. Are you going to a soup kitchen or living on the street? No, you're
right.
not really living like that. You're just making the choices to use your money in ways that are really maybe not as important as what you really need at that moment. So you stop and create a new mental state and replace your words.
Once we can start telling those stories out loud, we hear them. When we keep them quiet and we just stick to our story and don't actually speak the truth, we can't hear the truth.
Absolutely. So, Bob, what would you like readers to take away with them after reading this book, and what recommendations can you make for them to begin to know themselves in a more expanded view of life and reality? Because that's what we're really talking about here.
Well, what I really would hope that people would start to realize is they have a lot more abundance in their life than they think they do. And a lot of people have a lot more prosperity than they think they do. Everybody thinks the grass is greener on the other side. There's a great little phrase that says the grass is always greener where you water it.
Yes.
And I think that's so true, that if we could start to look and see what we have and actually start to recognize that abundance. And the other thing that I would say is to be willing to start to be uncomfortable and start listening to that inner voice and start listening to your body to see where those places are that you've been self-sabotaging, where you've than withholding, because wherever you withhold and you self-sabotage, you're not just doing that with your money, you're doing it in your relationships, with your partners, with your children. You're carrying that into every aspect of your life.
Absolutely. I would like to thank you, Bob Wheeler, author of The Money Nerve, for sharing a new way to look at how our finances are affected by our emotional responses to money, often as a result of the attitudes and fears felt by our parents, teachers, or role models in regard to what role money played in their lives. For more information and to understand how you may establish a dynamic approach to personal finances, go to themoneynerve.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored how to replace outdated belief systems related to money and how to overcome fears about money, creating a healthier relationship with your finances, and also creating a more honest, responsible way to accept how our actions, beliefs, and habits either create a well-defined management of our funds or bring chaos and mismanagement into our financial structures. In the same way that we learn about our own mistakes or lack of awareness in regard to how we are handling our financial behaviors, these inconsistencies may also be at play in other important areas of our life. Our interactions with others, our work habits, our leisure time events, everything may also reflect damaging attitudes from our childhood or training. This new awareness, along with accepting responsibility for our behaviors and our actions, may allow us to begin to develop a greater love and respect for ourselves and to make new choices based on present-day realities while we begin to appreciate with gratitude life in general. When you bring a new consciousness to any aspect of your daily life experience and assume personal responsibility for assuming more open and honest ways to exist, you will become aware that it is not the outside world that is creating any challenge for you, but rather your inner view of self and others and your perception of what is important in your life. Your values and your personal growth can guide you to appreciate the benefits of becoming a more competent, caring, and loving human being, and will, I guarantee, improve all situations, ultimately creating a new reality. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Healing From Within, and author of The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to discover many new approaches, ideas, and methodologies to lead you forward in your own personal development and for future success. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvisions7radio.com. Thank you.